1-800-518 and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
You know, Joe, the Bible says that all nations that hate God will be turned into hell, And of course, we know that Joe Obama, Biden, and the Democrats are doing the best they can to turn America into hell. But our neighbors to the north, Canada, they are even ahead of us in this race to get to hell, okay? Only an LGBTQIA, that's lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing, queers, artificial intelligence, or, as one pastor says, let God burn them quickly. Corrupted Canada, Trudeau, that's baby Castro, as you know, baby Castro, government is sponsoring the drag summer camp for children 7 to 11 years old. Any parents that would, let me tell you, any parents that would take their children to that, there's a special hot place in hell and they deserve to be there. And so residents of Vancouver now that have baby Castro, Justin Trudeau approved taxpayer-funded summer alternative for their little kiddies, a drag queen summer camp at the Carousel Theater for young people. College age 7 to, or children age 7 to 11 and teens age 12 to 17 will get free drag makeup starter kits for the folks. It costs $460 to $900 tuition, respectively. Unbelievable. Led by some of Vancouver's established and emerging drag artists. These...
hundreds of dollars to destroy your own children. Wow.
Okay, these are not artists. These are animals. These are animals, okay? You will learn how to access your inner confidence, show your true colors, maybe even let out the inner diva. Well, no, you won't. What you'll do is you'll reduce yourself to the lowest form of life. You will put yourself in bondage. You will have no honor, no integrity, no decency. There will not be one thing about you that has not been tarnished and soiled. You will become dirty.
Everything in that entire movement revolves around extreme sexual activity. We knew a pastor from San Diego that had been a former member of the gay community there, and he talked about how it was total demonic possession, the sexual energy. It was all about rampant sex, just humiliating oneself, drugs, alcohol, and sex. And his stories were just horrific. And he said, this is the real life in the sodomite community, the gay community. And he said, it's the kind of thing you just, the news will not print, tell the real story of what goes on.
No, no, they're not going to. They will do what they're told to do. Whatever George Soros sends down, they will say that's the narrative, and you're not going to promote it. And if you give it any attention at all, any publicity, it'll be positive for them. Like, this is a good thing. I would say,
well,
here,
you're fired, you're out of work, and we will make sure you suffer.
In our area here where we are, the one local station, they have, there you go. I forgot the, it's station number one here, but it's got to do with the cable service out here, phone service, and, oh, I'm having, it's the commercials you hear, you see on TV all the time, like the one that says, and it's free, and it's free, and I can't, but anyhow, there, I would say that they seem to be the most liberal, the most pro, because they seem to be always given very positive stories or coverage. I only watch them for one thing, for the weather, because they come on the weather every 10 minutes. Anyhow, they seem to always give a lot of coverage, very positive, to sodomy or abortion. In other words, if it's a sin, and they seem to have, their talking heads there, seem to be the younger, much younger than the rest of the news. Anyhow,
yeah.
Speak.
Well, here's a perfect example of what you're talking about. I can make it real short. From the Daily Signal, there were several detransitioners. These are older men who spent
Spectrum. Years. Spectrum. I just remember it's called Spectrum.
Oh, Spectrum.
Spectrum News, yeah, okay. That's
well,
who it is.
It wasn't a senior moment, it was a senior moment. It just took a little longer to get there.
Yeah.
Anyway, this big story is there's a legal brief that's being filed supporting Florida's health agency rule that prevents Medicaid money from reimbursing for transgender medical interventions. And, of course, all the LGBT and the Lombada legal groups and all this filed a lawsuit against, you know, to block the rule. And they came out anyway. So Florida said that, well, this transgender interventions are all experimental. And the court ruled that, yeah, it's, so far it's experimental and that Florida's stand is reasonable. So these men, Walt Heyer, Ted Haley, and Bill Burley, did a friend of the amicus brief, friend of the court, and they were all ex-transsexuals who lived for several years and realized life got worse and not better. All the problems they had had that they were promised got worse and worse and worse, and they all realized that they were men, that they could never be a woman. And they all went through D-trans, and the amazing thing is they all kind of thank God for helping them through it, but they came out and said that, yeah, it was never right, that the therapists and counselors always pushed them toward being a transgender, whatever they had that was bothering them, that the psychologists, psychiatrists never dug into their childhood to look at what the problems were. So these are men that all had their penises removed and turned into vaginas. I mean, went the whole nine yards. And they're saying, please, you know, we need to put a stop to this because too many of these people are confused. And it took them, in some cases, you know, 10, 15 years to realize how badly they had ruined their life. And they're trying to warn, but this kind of story never gets publicity. I look around. And there are very few places that will print this kind of story, but they're all over Europe, stories from England, Germany, Spain, of these detransitioners, but they are hated more than anybody. The LGBTQ world hates a detransitioner more than I think they hate a born-again believer.
Well, say, Joe, you know, all of this that, you know, you can be, if you can just imagine and think today you feel like a woman, you could become a woman today, right? And if that would work there, why wouldn't it work if you decided you wanted to be a child today, okay?
Rich? Can I want to be a rich man today?
Well, here's how you would do that. Here's how you would do that. All you have to do is imagine yourself as being black, and go to California, and reparations will give you millions of dollars.
Oh, fine, yeah.
Okay,
I just establish residency and wait for my money, right?
Yeah, I can convince you that you're black, and then then all you have to do is go to California, and in fact, you may be older than you look, and you might have been, you know, a slave yourself. And so... yeah, and there you go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in the world of a Democrat, why not? Why wouldn't that work?
Yeah, I hope some of these people don't start thinking they're, you know, I'm an eagle and go jump off a cliff and try and fly, but they'll go against everything known to science to say a man who has X and Y chromosomes can be a female with two X chromosomes in every cell in their body. If you could change every one of those, what, hundreds of millions of cells in the body, I don't think it's going to happen, do you?
Well, these people that do that, there is a change. They become lunatics.
Yeah,
They're right. These young girls that are taking testosterone, they're losing their minds, okay? They're literally losing their minds. But anyhow... speaking of, World Health Organization instructs schools to teach toddlers masturbation. This is no kidding. The World Health Organization has issued a document to policymakers, education, and health authorities instructing them to teach little children very early childhood masturbation, encourage them to express wishes and needs while playing with plain doctor.
We're talking 2-3-year-olds?
Yeah, toddlers, yeah. This is, see, this is the insanity. And, you know, listen, the NEA would have no problem with this at all. The NEA would embrace that. They would, in other words, if you place your kid in a public school, that they, those people more than likely in that public school would embrace that. And so, but here's some good news. Jim Jordan, FBI is infiltrating. No, this isn't good news. This is the article, the fact that Jim Jordan is taking this on. FBI is infiltrating Catholic parishes. Agents are engaging in outreach with Catholic clergy to inform on Americans practicing their Christian faith. These changes everything. This is what happens to China. I listened to the hearings on this. Chris Wray, FBI, is now infiltrating Catholic parishes. And Chris Wray, what a liar. He's got that little smirk on his face. And he just sits there.
Got that kind of Biden-esque smirk.
And again, today, just again today, Merrick Garland was caught under oath lying. Under oath lying again today. And so the FBI...
They don't have to keep track of the lies. I don't have that much time.
Right. The FBI agents engaging in outreach to Catholic leaders to spy on Americans practicing their faith. Here we go. This is an earth-shattering development in the U.S. intelligence community. We already knew the FBI and the DOJ was targeting traditional Catholics and Christians. Now we have evidence that they're infiltrating the Catholic parishes. Oh, I've got to, here's the article, right? Here's the official document for the House of Representatives, the Honorable, oh, listen to this. The Honorable, here it's talking about Chris Wray, the defendant. The Honorable Christopher Wray, Director. The Committee on Judiciary, is conducting oversight of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI handling of domestic violent extremists and investigating against Catholic Americans and its effect on protected First Amendment activity. Based on the limited information produced by the FBI to the committee, we now know that the FBI relied on at least one undercover agent to produce its analysis, and that FBI proposed that its agents engage in outreach of Catholic parishes to develop sources among the clergy and church leadership to inform an American practicing their faith, to inform on Americans practicing their shocking information. I don't think that, you know, with this Pope that they have, he would probably go right along with it.
Well, you and I practice our faith every night on the radio to millions of people, so I guess we don't have to worry about being infiltrated, because all they have to do is listen in to the podcast on thewordcleveland.com, and they pretty much know where we stand, right?
Well, Joe, over the years, I've done 3 live broadcasts with FBI agents sitting right in the studio with me.
Studio, right there watching you.
those were the good guys. They were there because they had to go through the motions. But like they said, you know, we agree with you. We just have to come down here because that's our orders, to go through the motions. And
do you think there's still some good guys left like that?
Yeah, there are still some good guys out there in the FBI. Praise the good Lord. There's still some. But they need to blow the whistle. They need to do the right thing. Remember what President Trump told Mike Pence, Mike, do the right thing.
Right thing.
Well, I'll bet old Mike wishes he'd done the right thing now, okay? But I don't know.
I still think he wants to run. I think he wants to run for president. He's still trying to see if he could do it. And I think that kind of ego gets in the way of men.
Yeah, he didn't. When it really counted, he failed. He remember when he was governor there of Indiana. I remember when I heard him say he would not sign the same-sex marriage bill into law. He would not do that. Well, they put the pressure on him, and he did it. And see,
he did it.
And that seems to be the way things work out there, the compromise. They pressure you until you compromise. And so here you go. Joe Biden signs GOP proposed bill ending COVID-19, a national emergency. That's right, national emergency, brother.
Only because Congress signed a bill to do it.
Yeah. Let's see. It ends on May 11th, last month. Okay.
Still, yeah.
Joe Obama Biden on Monday signed a GOP-proposed bill officially ending the U.S. COVID national emergency. The national farce. That's exactly what it was. It wasn't an emergency. It was a deep state flag operation.
It's only a couple of years too late. I mean, come on. I mean, it just took them a couple of years to get there, Pastor.
Yep. All right, there you go. So last month, the Senate voted 68-23 to end the COVID emergency. What kind of a fool would vote against ending that so-called emergency?
A demon rat?
Yeah.
Well, going along with that, there's a person I've listened to speak, Zai Van Fleet. He is a survivor of the Chinese Cultural Revolution, a Maoist survivor, and he was on Fox News. And he's been giving a warning on the heels of the Trump indictment, arguing that the past of communist China is now repeating itself in the U.S. And he said the day that President Donald Trump was arraigned in Manhattan will be remembered as one of the darkest days in American history. He said, America, you are cheering for your own demise, because April 4th, 2023 would be remembered as one of the darkest days in America when the Democrats made our country a banana republic of communism. He didn't pull any punches in his speech, but you and I have done story after story about survivors from North Korea, from communist China, from communist countries. They've come here, they've loved America, they have stood up and warned and warned and warned. And what amazes me, Pastor, is how nobody pays attention to these people who have lived under communism, suffered. Some of them were beaten, imprisoned, raped, all kinds of horrible things. They come here and they warn we're headed in the direction the schools were like the schools in North Korea, the creating the hate, separating people by race or creed or sex or age or whatever they're doing, creating dissension and hate. This is what they did in this country, that country. And the world doesn't seem to listen to the people who know communism best, the survivors of it. It just amazes me that we cannot learn from those who suffered so much.
Well, you know, Joe, the Bible refers to those, the apostate church, as the great whore. The great whore.
Whore.
Also refers to those people that are corrupt, those who are in the judicial, like DAs, judges, and that, those that have done that are corrupt and dishonest, and they've gone a-whoring. It says that the Bible refers to them as whores themselves, as whores themselves. And this is what George Soros bought and paid for, a number of these whores. He's placed in office. One of them here is Manhattan D.A. Braggs. And here, just to give you the idea of how egregiously Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Braggs is, and miscarrying justice while he spends all his time trying to lock away President Donald Trump for alleged money crimes involving porn star Stormy Daniels. Take a good look at these criminals who committed actual felony crimes that were set free, in some cases repeatedly, by Bragg. Now, here, you know,
four or five times.
Well, you know, why don't you? You know, they have attorneys, and the attorneys talk to Bragg, and Bragg say, well, you know, it's going to cost you so much, right? You want to set them loose? Okay, so he's got to follow Soros' orders, his master, and at the same time he wants to profit off it. As revealed by New York City Mayor Eric Adams again back in August, these criminals committed 500 crimes in the Big Apples, and a shocking 60% of them are still roaming free, thanks to Bragg's soft-on-crime approach for everyone other than Donald Trump. One of the criminals is...
We did one report. We listed the top 10 criminals in New York, and they had committed, 60% of the crimes?
Yeah. One of the criminals
They were all out on bail.
One of the criminals' name is Harold Gooding, 53, who has been arrested more than 70 times just for theft alone. Now, he's also been taken into custody more than 100 times. The 53-year-old already has 15 convictions in his name, as well as 14 failures to show up in court following his prolific crime spree, reports the Daily Mail online. Goes on to say he has rocketed to number one in the New York's police department's list for repeat offenders following the torrent of thefts. He has more than 70 arrests just, again, for theft alone. He goes on to list the number of other these people that have committed crime after crime after crime, and of course
crime after crime. Yeah.
They come. How does that work? Well, you come. Their attorneys, those crooked lawyers. Jesus said, "Remember," he said, "Woe unto you, lawyers! Woe unto you, lawyers! Woe unto you, lawyers!"
Well, three woes, and that's pretty strong.
They can go to Bragg and say, "Bragg, you know, it's I'd like to get my." Client off here, Bragg might say something like, well, 50, 60, you know, 5,000, whatever. You don't know what he might say, but they don't ever do. These people are so completely corrupt. And the same thing here in the Cleveland area here in Ohio, the corruption is unbelievable where it comes to this. And that's where they work. It's called pay to play.
Well, George Soros is using the Cloward prison strategy, just overload, overwhelm, break down society, and eventually when society breaks down, they'll have to create a strong central government, like in Germany, that'll come and fix the problem that they created in the first place. And then we've got one more story. Hung Hao is a retired Navy captain, U.S. Navy captain. And he fled Vietnam a long time ago, just before the fall of Saigon. He has worn the uniform of the United States, fought in Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia. And he's saying, he was talking about how his grandfather was hauled away in the middle of the night. He was a magistrate, and he was arrested and murdered in front of my mother. So it's just one of those things where if this can happen in the United States, that it can happen anywhere, this kind of totalitarian leadership we have in the wake of Donald Trump's indictment. And he's saying we're falling prey to the same thing that happened to his country, South Vietnam, when the Chinese communists came in. Again, another person speaking out, but, you have to either go to the London Daily Mail, WorldNet Daily. You will never hear this kind of story usually on any major news network. It's always hidden somewhere, hard to find.
Well, you know, this Bragg, Alvin Bragg, he has filed a federal lawsuit against Representative Jim Jordan. He did that today, alleging that the Republican lawmaker is trying to wage a campaign of intimidation over his prosecution of former President Donald Trump. Do you know what happened when Trump was there? The cops in that jail, all the cops came up to Trump, were telling him, "We are so sorry for this." He actually had some of the women were actually crying, said, "How corrupt. We are totally against this." Now, this Bragg, he is really pushing his luck. Jim Jordan, okay, Congress has power, and they can enforce it. I know in Manhattan, the courts are so corrupt, and if Trump goes back there, but Trump's a pretty smart guy, and if he only goes back there, then he knows something we don't know. Because that
these people are supposedly going to file all kinds of appeals. One, it's unconstitutional. It's past the statute of limitations. It's not a crime. He's got about five or six different appeals, and one of them would. And if none of those get it dismissed, he's going to. You know, his attorneys have said they'll look for a different venue, like Staten Island or something. Not Staten Island, but what is that?
The next county over, the next borough.
Yeah, the next county over.
Actually, they call them boroughs over there.
Boroughs, yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow, in this lawsuit, the Democratic Communist DA said he's taken legal action in response to an unprecedented, brazen, and unconstitutional attack by members of Congress on an ongoing New York State criminal prosecution. I got a bad feeling they're gonna get Bragg. If they can get Bragg in there, they've got enough on that guy to put him away, and he needs to be going away for a long, long time.
Well, he's trying to say they don't have jurisdiction, but his division takes all kinds of federal money, and that federal money is supposed to be used for certain specific things, not trying to take a state crime and turn it into a federal crime, which is what he's trying to do, when the federal government said that there was no crime there, nothing that they would charge. So they do have a oversight right, because they want to see if the money they gave Bragg's division there that he's in charge of, if they're spending all this money going after Donald Trump, that is against what the funds were intended for, and they can defund his office. So
yeah,
they've got a lot of power there, a lot more than he might think. They maybe can't arrest him or put him in jail, but they could defend him, and that wouldn't look very good right now, I don't think.
Well, even if they did that, but no, this guy has broken all kinds of laws. One of the things he's done, he's had to take a lot of different bribes. That's their very nature. And
right,
it just,
Congress can't charge crimes or anything that way.
No, but they can get a court to do it.
Yes.
So, alrighty. I was going to just say, what do we have next? I know what it was. Let's open up the phone lines and take some calls. We're going to open up the phone lines now nationwide at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll be back right after this and take your calls.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, in the hand of Jesus, he touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. And now I know this blessed Savior. And since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls, for he touched me.
Alrighty, we're back, and we have with us C.S. Thunder. Are you there, C.S.?
Yes, hello, Pastor, and hello, Pastor Joe.
Hello, C.S.
Did you
recognize who was singing that song, He Touched Me? Did you recognize that voice?
Yeah, that was you.
No, it wasn't me. It was Brian Park from church.
Church. You know, Brian has a great voice, too.
Yeah, well, he sure does. That was him and, I believe, Esty in there, too.
Huh. It sounded good.
Yeah, he did.
Pastor, I got a Bible question for you.
All right, fire away.
It's asked of me all the time. Do the people that are in heaven see what's going on earth?
The answer to that is in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. If you turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, and I'm going to do it, but I'm down to one arm, so it takes me. Okay, hang on a minute. I'll get you there in a minute. It's a little hard because these pages are so thin. But I will tell you, here's what it says. Well, we got to go another page over. Okay, I'll get there. One more. Okay, here you go. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience to the race that is set before us. In other words, those folks in heaven have access to what God lets them know. In other words, they're cheering us on. We have this cloud of witnesses cheering us on, the saints that have gone before us there in heaven.
So, but do they see, say, for example, say like someone decides to rob a bank. Does their relatives up in heaven see that?
Well, let me ask you this: if they could see all the horrible things that happen on this earth, would it be heaven for them? No, they
wouldn't. So, in other words,
they have access to the knowledge that God lets them have, what God wants them to know.
Yeah, because there'll be no tears in heaven, correct?
Correct.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah, because that's
kind of limited visibility, is what it is. There is some visibility, but I imagine He shows them wonderful things like babies being born, people coming to the Lord, becoming a born-again believer, things like that.
There are a lot of good things going on in this earth. Every day people are being baptized and people are ushered into the kingdom, and those are a lot of good things. And so,
well, amen to that. And you know, Pastor, the other question that I'm asked all the time?
What's that?
Will I see my dog in heaven?
Well, there's a lot of evidence that in heaven, this is my personal opinion, okay? In heaven, there's going to be things that I believe that we know that there's going to be animals in heaven for sure. Mm-hmm. And we know that there are things I can imagine. I've thought about this myself, but things that are near and dear to us. Remember, God has his unlimited power. So when I was a kid, my dog was real close to me. I could have that dog again if I wanted. You know, how animals become so your pets can become so close to you that they're dear and near to you. And remember, in heaven, nothing is impossible. And so I believe myself, I truly believe, yeah, we'll have access to that.
Now, is it also possible that certain pets will go to hell?
No.
Because I had a dog that would be very much a candidate for that.
Yeah. Well, there are dogs don't have, okay, dogs have they have a spirit, okay? But you see, animals, you can train an animal that it can get rewarded for doing one thing and then punished for another. But the animal can know that. So the animal can know that, and if it knows it's done something wrong, it'll tuck its tail and kind of goes down. But it doesn't know why it's wrong, or it doesn't know why it's right or why it's wrong. Therefore, it doesn't have, there's no guilt on that. Animals do what they do by instinct. So, no, I don't believe there'd be any animals. Now, the Bible does say where the worm never dieth. And that's going to be the worms tormenting in hell, where people could be eaten, continues to be eaten by worms. But
that's not meaning like a fishing worm or anything like that.
No.
You're going to be fishing in heaven.
Well, actually, there's during the millennial kingdom, we see that there's going to be that, and I believe that there may very possibly be. You'll have the waters, the rivers of life, and there are places in the Bible where it does tell you that they're during the millennial kingdom that they're going to be fishing. So that's a possibility.
I mean, look at Jesus. He took the loaves of bread and the fishes, and he multiplied them.
Yeah.
I would think that, of course, manna also would be present, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, the situation with, I'm also asked this other question. They said, what do you think? Do you think there's going to be a nuclear war? And I tell them, I says, the deep state uses the Bible to try to win. They have artificial intelligence, and they program their AI machines to follow the Bible to get a win for them. In other words, they're trying to destroy God's Word, the Bible, by destroying all of humanity.
Well, their goal, if they can see the idea, like the Lord Jesus emphasizes several times, Scripture cannot be broken. Scripture cannot be broken.
Right.
If Scripture could break, if Satan could break Scripture, then God no longer is God. God ceases to be God because he's no longer omnipotent. And so, and that's his goal. But the Bible says it cannot be broken, that God's Word cannot be broken. And I can tell you, since time's begun, they've been trying to break it and haven't got there yet, have they?
No, they haven't. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I always tell people that say that my God is the spaghetti monster and all this other nonsense, I tell them, I says, that the Bible, I'm a Bible apologist, probably to the nth degree. I believe everything that the Bible says is true, because it's God's Word. And when this subject comes up, I tell them, I says, look, there isn't one person that has ever lived that has proven anything incorrect in the Bible. They don't know how to answer that.
That's true. Well, many of them have tried to do that, saying the errors in the Bible, but what they do is they're not reading it, or they're not closely for example, one of the best examples, it talks about Solomon's stalls and Solomon's horses. Well, you know, in one area it talks about he had so many chariots and so many horses. And then it says in a different passage that he had X amount of horses. Well, he had more than one stall. It wasn't referring to the same thing.
Right.
And so what they try to do is they try to do anything they can to try to, and you're right, nobody's ever been able to misprove. In their minds, they think they can, but they never have been able to.
Well, and one last thing, Pastor, and I'll let you, because I know you have other callers. There's an awful lot of people out there that have anxiety right now. They're hearing all these stories about, you know, possible depression with the, you know, the central bank digital currency, the reset. We're hearing all about Klaus Schwab and Yuval Noah Harari and all these evil people. I suggest that in order to put a little bit of equalization into their lives, because a lot of times this stuff will wear on you to the point that it becomes the only thing you think about. And I suggest that you pick up a King James Bible and start reading it, and you'll get hope. You'll get the good word. But paying attention to all this stuff on earth, none of this stuff is important, really, when it comes down to it.
Well, here's what I would say. Yeah, here's what I would say, C.S. God is on the throne. He is in complete control. And just like if you let Klaus Schwab and Joe Biden give you anxiety, remember the very fact that they know that we're Christians, we give them anxiety. They can't stand it. I mean, you know, Joe Biden, right? I mean, this is why they've got the FBI infiltrating churches and that. They're worried about us, and they very well should be. And remember the big battle that McTernan and I had with the War Department and the Pentagon, okay, when they came out some years ago and tried to say that Christians should not be in the military because our loyalty would be to Christ and not the United Nations. And McTernan and I had an ongoing battle with them right on the air.
Wow. But yeah, it's amazing how our government has been infiltrated by these globalist, actual communists, really, if you come right down to it.
Absolutely.
And as you say, it's the world's second oldest religion. And these people that are in positions of power, such as, like, for example, General Milley, who's retiring, that man should be up for treason.
Yeah, Milley, he should be. And I had to laugh with Austin today when Austin says, we're going to find, you can bet I'm going to find the source of these leaks. Go to Hunter Biden, Austin. Go to Hunter Biden. He got caught emailing one of the documents that were classified. He got caught sending them over the internet, emailing them. But I got to move on.
All right, Pastor, God bless.
Hey, well, are you back? Are you back in Ohio now?
I'm back in Ohio, but I'm not sure how long.
Okay, well, you better get to church before you run off again.
I know. I miss everybody. Tell everybody I'll be seeing them. Give them a warning. Tell them I'll be there one day soon.
Yeah, well, they heard you on the radio, and they wanted to know where you're at and if you're going to be back. So, all right, you just did, so we'll be looking for you. All right.
Just remember, C.S., greater is he that is within us. You know, that's our secret weapon.
Alrighty.
We have nothing this world has to offer. There's nothing we should fear.
We got to go to Katie. Katie, you're in the air. Hey, hello, Katie. Are you there? Katie? Is Katie there? Katie, did you fall? Okay, we just lost Katie. Okay.
Sounds like a click, yeah.
Yeah. Who did you say? Say that again. Let's go out to St. Paul. We have Vince in St. Paul. Vince, you're in the air.
Good evening, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you very much. You say something about the pharmacopoeia, and you associate that with allopathic medicine. However, homeopathy also has its pharmacopoeia, and I believe herbal medicine also has its pharmacopoeia. So when you say pharmacopoeia, you associate that with allopathic medicine, but it's actually in the healing arts too.
No, pharmakeia means actually means wizardry. Okay?
That is correct. That is correct, and that's also associated with herbal medicine.
Well, I don't know if any. I would imagine some of the wizards might have used some herbs. I know they did, but the apothecary is what we promote. The apothecary, and that's what your homeopathic people like Dr. Glidden and people like Wendy Wilson. The apothecary is the good thing. It's where.
Well, yes, if they use it correctly in a holistic manner, but they also have a book. It's called of the Pharmacopoeia. It's by Dr. Berkey. It's like the Bible of homeopathy.
Well, it might be his book, but it's not what the Bible teaches. So he's got to give him a call and tell him about the King James Bible. There's several passages in there he needs to read. Okay. All right. Thanks for calling. Who did you have? AC, you're in the air.
Hello?
Hello. How are you?
Yes, Pastor Ernie and Pastor Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Greetings.
Last night, you had a caller who's, she lost her mother, and she was perplexed about whether or not to bury her or cremate her. And I'd just like to bring this up. Jesus was our example, not only in life, but also in death. And as you pointed out in your Bible study, his followers took a lot of effort to, like the women, for example, to bring spices and everything in the anointing of the body, okay? And what people need to realize is when the rapture takes place, the graves of those that have died in Christ will be opened, and they'll be a witness to all those that are left behind. And so you talked about the open tomb, and that open tomb caused a lot of people to be saved, I'm sure, you know, down through the years. And so I would just encourage this woman to consider having her mother buried. I mean, I know she was talking about how expensive it was, but she would get far greater favor with God by having her mother buried than having her cremated.
Well,
because her mother, the grave will be a witness then when the rapture takes place.
Well, see, her question to me was, was it be a sin? The Bible doesn't say it's a sin, no. But I'm telling them what it taught during that burning of the body, burning of the bones was always used as desecrating. In other words, it wasn't that God was desecrating, it was that people would use that as a way of desecrating one another. But I can understand, they were afraid that if they got cremated instead of buried, that God would not be able to raise them from the dead. But no, God is very capable to be able to raise them from the dead. But okay, you've called in just at the right time, AC, because should we let him give the invitation, Joe?
Yeah, we haven't heard him do that for a while.
You got 4 minutes. Can you do it in 4 minutes, AC?
Yes. Tell me when.
I'd like that answer.
No, go for it right now.
Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you and praise you for the blood that was shed for our salvation. Divine blood, sinless blood, and God, keep us mindful of that blood throughout the days ahead. It was a tremendous sacrifice, an unparalleled sacrifice. And God, you're warning us that we're in the final hour, that things are coming to a close, that Jesus will be coming soon. And God, we have to be ready for him, and people need to realize that he's coming again, and that there's going to be a world
after he comes that people will not want to be in. It'll be the worst time on planet Earth, the tribulation period, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And God, you've shown us in your word that when Jesus comes in the rapture, the graves of the saved will be opened up and the graves of the damned will be left untouched. What a horrible time. And God, I just pray that the listeners would realize the consequences of the rapture, and even before the rapture, the necessity of dying in Christ. Because if people do not die in Christ, they will end up in a literal burning hell for all eternity. There will be no escape. And God, I just pray for listeners to take seriously what's been said about the validity of the King James Bible. It is truly your word. And again, the hour is late, and people need to realize that we are on borrowed time, and we're not promised tomorrow. And God, there will be many people who won't enter into tomorrow, so to speak. God, I just pray sincerely that people would realize how late the hour is, and that their lives may be required of them tomorrow, that they have to be right with you. Otherwise, they'll face an eternity in a godless hell. And God, I just cry out this evening for you to move on people to get saved, to be born again, because unless a man or woman is born again, they cannot see or enter the kingdom of heaven. And God, I just ask for you to move for the listeners in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you very much for that. All righty. How much time do I have there left? Alrighty. Okay, thank you very much for that. And folks, we're living again, like he said, in the days exactly the way the God's Word, the Bible, describes them. And so this is not a time, okay, to be worried and have anxiety. This is a time to run to this battle, to show the good Lord what we're made of. You know what he did for us, right? And this is the time when he's saying, now show me what you're going to do for me. And so it's our time to run to this battle. Look, we know how it ends. We know exactly how it ends. The opposition, many of them know that too. And they're worried, believe me. We cause them just as much angst as they cause us. So, in fact, probably more. Well, as we do every night at this time, we want to say good night, right? God bless.
God bless.
And always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.